flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We're back here on the Second Guest Show, a special edition, our Super Bowl edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Want to tell everybody at 3:20, Sal Palantonio will join us talking about the Eagles and the Chiefs. Sal's wrote a couple books about the Eagles.
Oh, my God. You look at the pregame in the NFL every Sunday.
Sal's
always at Philly.
He's here with us each and every Monday night, but he's here tonight. Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, man, it's always
this
a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
And, man, I know y'all gearing up, man. You got a full house here.
Good crowd.
The hotel's all full. And some of that is just like on the bayou. No matter where you go, if it's in Houma and Thibodeau, ain't got a hotel or motel anywhere in town.
No,
that's not booked.
There's quite a few people walking around this week in their Kansas City gear.
I saw it.
So it's all good. It's going to be. And we have the football squares for the Super Bowl tomorrow, and you still have a chance to earn your square.
And also, too, Mr. Hebert will give the score. And if you guess the same score as him, tell them what they win.
They have regular squares and then double squares. And if you have a double square on the final score and win that square, and also if the final score matches Bobby's prediction, which it has before here to someone,
it has
two
already.
Different times.
It has, I'm not saying every other Super Bowl, but it has happened one time.
The lightning strike.
Yeah,
Watch out.
If y'all remember when the Steelers beat the Seahawks. And when you want to talk about officiating, the Seahawks had
they got jammed in that game.
Five calls go against the Seahawks. It was like, what? So, no, it's a human judgment. You have human error and all that. But the Steelers were able. Hines Ward, remember all that? Antoine Randall ended up throwing him a touchdown pass. I want to say to Hines Ward. But the Steelers won that Super Bowl, ended up beating the Seahawks. I picked the exact score. So, Dave, I'm going to give the score out right now.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm going with the Eagles 27, the Chiefs 23.
Woo, man.
Now, again, I'm probably going to lose, but I just think the Eagles got the better team. And I say you should never bet against Tom Brady or Pat Mahomes. I do agree with that. But I just look at it, as a player, I would want to be on the better team, the supporting cast. And I look in the trenches, the offensive and defensive line, and the addition of Saquon Barkley. And again, I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do, and will they be able to stop the run? And Dave, again, this is not an opinion. And Mike, you remember what I was saying earlier about how you look at, okay, what have the Chiefs, what have you done for me lately in trying to stop the run? Dave, now look at this. And Saquon's in the mix. Kansas City is coming off, like I said, a couple of shaky performances defending the run. The Houston Texans ran for 149 yards. The Bills, 147 in consecutive weeks. So I'm thinking right now, I think the Eagles could do at least that. You look at Jalen Hurts. You look at Saquon. And I'm thinking, I look at that Eagles offensive line. Now, turnover. Oh, Avery, you always talk about the damn turnover. Yeah, or the plus or minus. No, if the Eagles are -1, that ain't good. Or if they're -2. And Dave, like I was telling Mike early, we were talking about this. Jalen Hurts, the last Super Bowl they lost 38-35. Jalen Hurts outplayed Pat Mahomes. What are you talking about, Hebert? Well, he had 374 total yards to 226 for Pat Mahomes. But you know what he did? Now he cannot do this. Remember when he was out the pocket to the right?
It looked like he stumbled, didn't he?
He stumbled, tripped, and he dropped the ball, and they picked it up and scooped and scored. You gave up 7 points, a touchdown right there. Now, you can't do that. So then all bets are off if that happens like that. No, Jalen Hurts cannot do that. If Jalen Hurts plays well, the Eagles will win.
And if you have that square tomorrow that has
the double square, right?
Double square with a 7 for Philly and the 3 for
the Chiefs.
You win $4,000. $4,000 of free slot play. Pretty strong.
Guys, it just announced just a few minutes ago, but the Eagles are activating veteran edge rusher Brandon Graham from the IR. Now, Graham was a starting defensive end for them, but then he tore his triceps late in November. Now he's eligible to play on Super Bowl Sunday.
And he has skins on the wall, Mike. He could be disruptive. Just look at what he's done in history. I mean, it's like, you hurt, and he was fighting to get back to this point. And go, no, he's out for the season. He's out for the season. Well, you don't think he hit the lottery and he's going to be motivated? Damn, I rehab my ass off, and I'm ready to play in the damn Super Bowl? You better pack a lunch going against him. Mike, he's like, let him out the cage. You'll be going crazy.
And Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Here's my deal. I can get Jalen Carter and Davis to occupy some blocks, and I got one-on-one.
And I'm going to win that one-on-one.
So that is a big thing to get Brandon Graham back, and he has been activated.
And, Dave and Mike and Luke, what's going to be the key? Because you're like, damn, you got to get there, but what do you have to do? It's a quarterback hurry, a quarterback pressure. You got to get him down. What defensive line or edge rusher, or you might have the nickel coming off the slot, anybody when you're getting after the quarterback, can you get Pat Mahomes down and not let him work his magic? Or Jalen Hurts. I'm there to make the play. I can't get juked. You don't have to cream him. You want to cream the quarterback. You can't do it anyway anymore. That used to be you knock the crap out of the quarterback. You can't do that. How about you just get him down? And all of a sudden, now it's second or third in double digits. Mm-hmm. That's how, behind the sticks and all that. Look what team can all of a sudden make plays and get Pat Mahomes down in space or Jalen Hurts.
The other thing, too, is, and I've said this before, Patrick Mahomes is Pete Maravich with a football. That ball never comes out the same way. It's sidearm. It's kind of underneath. He'll throw almost like a chest pass to somebody. Any way to get there, he'll do it.
Well, Pat Mahomes reminds me of? You can see that baseball player in him. If you're a shortstop or a second baseman, you're turning a double play. You got to flick a kid double play, how you're just flicking the ball here and you're doing all that. Look at how the play is like an infielder, a baseball infielder.
Because his dad, the influence of his dad, who was a Major League Baseball player.
Pat Mahomes, it's unorthodox, throwing it from all different levels, but it's like turning a double play in baseball. Mahomes does that at an unbelievable level.
Dave, tell everybody what's happening here at the Slipper.
And also, it's a big week next week. Valentine's Day is next Friday. We have
you got to get that rose for Bobby.
Yeah, get that rose for Bobby. We have the Pick a Rose promotion where we have a basket with 100 long stem roses in it. Each rose has a prize note on it. One could be a cruise for two or $500 in free play, so it's a great promotion.
Yeah, I think I got one of those free play ones, but the cruise might be pretty good, Dave.
Yeah, man, be good. And tonight,
and he gave it to somebody. Joey, he's not here.
Yeah. Tonight we have a really good band here, the Tease Me Band, live on stage at 7:00.
Oh, the Tease Me Band, I like that name.
It's a nice name.
Tease Me, please.
They're from Mississippi. Right.
No, they're in South Louisiana.
Okay.
A little bit of both. But Kelly's the lead singer. She's really good, man.
Okay, awesome.
Dynamo.
Oh, so Kelly would be a tease in the audience.
That's
huh?
Exactly right. Her husband's in the band, though.
She they both could tease the audience.
Dave, I know where you're going with this. You, like me, I think somehow, some way, the Chiefs end up winning this game with Pat Mahomes, and you feel the same way.
Yeah, same way, man. 3 points. Could be 1 point, but...
Hey, but Dave, don't you want it? I think truly, if you could care less about the Eagles or the Chiefs, don't we want a good game?
Want a good game.
Because if it goes down to, if we can get a game like they had last time in Arizona, 38-35, yes. I mean, I would take that right now. You don't want it to be, because they've had blowouts in New Orleans before.
Oh, yeah.
When the damn 49ers blow out the Broncos and all. We don't want that kind of game.
We want a good game and a safe game and a safe city for New Orleans.
Oh, it's going to be safe. Trump's coming to town. They got more security than
anything. Man, do they have security.
Yeah.
And so if you had to drive tomorrow, you good luck.
No.
You better leave early.
What was the kickoff? 5:30? Yeah. You better leave at 12 noon.
And get to or 10:30.
Bobby, where are you watching the game?
I'm going.
He's going to the game.
This could be.
Oh, you're going to the game.
This is going. I'm part of the media.
Gotcha.
No, I'm a journalist.
Something like that.
This is going to be my seventh Super Bowl, actually, I've attended. And I've been to Super Bowls in New Orleans, Atlanta, and Miami. I don't know if I told you the story, Dave, because, you know, my dad took me to Super Bowls at Tulane Stadium. I went to see the Chiefs-Vikings. I went to see the Dolphins and the Cowgirls. I went to see all that. And then when T-Bob and Bo, my two boys, were growing old, I was like, I can't be like, Dad, you never took us to a Super Bowl. So I took them to the Titans-Rams game, which was unbelievable.
That was
down
a really
to the
good
last play. You remember Steve McNair was the quarterback for the Titans, and all of a sudden, the Rams end up stopping the Titans. It was in the Georgia Dome. It ain't there no more. They blew that stadium up. But I took them to that Super Bowl, and then I'm doing the radio. First time I'm a virgin doing sports talk radio. I've done it now for, it'd be 27 years in March, and I'm doing the Falcons pregame and postgame. Damn it, we go to the damn Super Bowl. I'm a good luck charm. And then, you remember, that's when the Falcons.
Look what's happened ever since.
That's when the Falcons lost to the Broncos and John Elway in Miami. So they lost that one. I'll never forget. I was with Chris Chandler. You remember the quarterback of Atlanta?
University of Washington.
Because they upset the Vikings. I went to his suite after the game. You know, he's all bummed out. We're all hanging out. We were watching South Park. It was like to get your mind off.
Man.
We watched some South Park episode, and we were doing something else.
Well, he didn't tell you another part of the story.
But we're watching South Park. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Dave, come on down to the Silver Slipper. We'll be back. Sal Palantonio scheduled to be a guest with us right after this break here on the Big 870.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WL. Back to a special edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, you see him each and every Sunday and Saturday. Covers the NFL, longtime follower of the Philadelphia Eagles, but you see him on ESPN. Sal Palantonio. Sal, thanks so much for joining us here on the Big 870.
Well, Sal, how does it feel to be like a living legend? Because everyone associates you. Everybody knows who you are. and especially all that the Philly. Yeah, Sal, I mean, come on, living legend.
Hey, Bobby, I'm going to ask you that question.
Well, yeah, this is my stomping grounds in the Big Easy in New Orleans. Yeah, you have to know where your roots are. I mean, you know, I was raised 15 miles south in New Orleans. People who are not from Louisiana are 15 miles south in New Orleans. What, you live in the Gulf of Mexico? Now it might be the Gulf of America. I don't know, but no, it's right on the coast. But these are my people. These are my people, Sal. So, you know, that's why I always respect. Sal has a pulse on the Philly fan base and the Eagles organization.
Sal, tell us about it, the reaction in Philly. And that was maybe some questioning here early in the season and say, man, can we get here with Nick Sirianni? Now you had the big game. And to be honest, I think the more talented team in the National Football League is the Eagles today.
Well, they are built to win the Super Bowl. The question is, are they built to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? I think that's the difference in the football game right there. Listen, you know, Nick Sirianni, after that loss in Tampa, the local sports talk radio in Philly did a poll, a fan poll, and 79% of the people wanted him fired. Now here he is in the Super Bowl. So he is embracing that. I know, it's crazy. You know, Philly is a city that likes to shove you back, as we like to say. You know, it's a tough fan base. And, you know, there's a lot of anxiety about this game. You're going against the four-headed monster of Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Steve Spagnuolo, and Andy Reid. And this is a formidable team in the Chiefs. They really know what they're doing on third down and in the third and fourth quarter on both sides of the ball. They're tough to get off the field, especially late in the game. You got to really have some good alignment and assignment football. It's all about details and getting the body part on the ground when you have a chance to tackle somebody, especially Patrick Mahomes.
And, you know, Sal, I look at it, when you play in the Chiefs, I'm like, I don't know, if it's under 5 minutes, can you be winning by 9 points or more? It has to be two scores. And then you never know. We all know what happened with Josh Allen and the Bills, 13 seconds. I want to say if that was correct, you know, and Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs come back and end up finding a way to win. But you know what I like? This is kind of old school football because, you know, it's a chess match and how you adapt to personnel and the game. This caught my attention. The Eagles have 683 rushing yards in the 2024 postseason and could surpass the 1982 Washington Redskins, who had 792 for the most by a team in a single postseason. So it's still fashionable this day and age. I know it's Saquon, but to run the football. You know, like everybody said, oh, we got to get smaller linebackers. We got to be able to, you know, be great in pass coverage and all that. But you look at Derrick Henry and you look at Saquon. So it kind of has come back, you know, to all kind of old school. And I think a lot of coordinators who realize that, even young minds, is like, we still got to be able to run the ball.
And they have that offensive line. They're 688 pounds, the heaviest offensive line in the NFL with three Pro Bowlers. You got Lane Johnson, who's going to the Hall of Fame. You got Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens. And Jordan Mailata should have gone to the Pro Bowl. And don't forget about Mekhi Becton. He's 6'7", 330. Now, amazing what Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach and run coordinator, has done for them. You know, as a just their scheme, their toughness, their technique is second to none. I mean, Becton didn't even play guard 8 months ago. He never played a down a guard in his NFL career, and here he is.
But he was a bust with the Jets. I mean, come on.
Yeah, he was a tackle. He was a bust with the Jets, and now he's one of the best offensive linemen right now playing in the game. So, you know, all credit goes to Stoutland. And, you know, they had 2,011 rushing yards as a team before contact in this season. 2011 before contact, before a defender even laid a glove on him. So that tells you how good that O-line is.
You know what? And I look at Jalen Hurts' rushing ability. Sal, how many people have realized in a very entertaining Super Bowl, you know, if you don't have a dog in the hunt, I want the same type game, you know, 38-35 is going down the wire. Do people truly realize that? Because I like the numbers and all that. But Jalen Hurts had 374 total yards to Pat Mahomes, 226 total yards. I mean, look, he had 15 rushes, 70 yards. But you know the one thing what Jalen Hurts cannot do are the Eagles. You know, you look at the turnover margin, who's plus one and all that. But that one fumble, remember he stumbled in the scoop and score. That's what you cannot give up against a team like the Chiefs, that kind of like pick six or a scoop and score type touchdown.
You're so right, Bobby, because, you know, the Eagles did it the old-fashioned way. Time of possession, field position, play keep away. You know, their defense played the fewest snaps in the NFL this year because their offense was on the field running the ball. They had the most yards rushing in the fourth quarter of the National Football League, the most first downs in the fourth quarter in the National Football League, the most rushing yards in the National Football League, the most time of possession in the fourth quarter in the National Football League. They will wear you down, and then they'll beat you up in the fourth quarter. And that's the kind of game that they got to win. You're right. You don't want it to be with Mahomes with the football in his hands in the fourth quarter, down one score or up one score. That would be a disaster scenario. So this could be an old-fashioned game. Could see a running back win the MVP for the first time since Terrell Davis, which is going back over 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So it's a very good possibility that Barkley could win the MVP of the game if they have their kind of game.
Sal, this goes back a couple years, and old veteran defensive line coach Pete Jenkins, who coached at one time with the Eagles, and you know, now at 83 years old, he's a consultant and he helps different teams out. He was at Georgia, and he was telling me about this young defensive lineman in Jalen Carter. And he was like, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. If they push the right buttons, he is going to terrorize this league, because not only can he get a really good push as a pass rusher, but he plays the run very, very well. And right before the draft time, I think Howie and a couple other guys with the Eagles got in touch with Pete. And he said, hey, you got to handle Jalen just right. And if he matures, he can be a dominant force up front. Well, this year, Jalen Carter was a dominating guy along that defensive line.
It really was. He was the most double-team defensive lineman in the NFL this year. That allowed Milton Williams and Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham and some other players, and of course Nolan Smith, the other player from Georgia, really have a great year. But it was Vic Fangio, I'll tell you, Mike. It was Vic Fangio in April when he first came in the building in South Philly, and he had the first defensive meeting. And he looked at all the players and he said, you're out of shape. All y'all are out of shape. All of you are out of shape. He said, we're not going to be rotating on the D-line anymore. I want you in better shape. You're going to be staying on the field. You don't play enough snaps. You're going to play more snaps for me. And Jalen Carter went on a heavy nutritional diet, you know, went worked out. Lost a lot of weight. I don't know exactly how much, but I'm going to ballpark at about 40 pounds. And he went from playing 49% of the snaps in 2023 to 89. So it was a huge jump. And he never comes off the field, doesn't want to come off the field. Vic Fangio just made that young man a lot of money, a lot of money.
Boy, Sal, you look at that, and you look in the Deep South, and you know, from a Louisiana influence, you know, he didn't go to LSU, but, you know, he's from a meet in Tangipahoa Parish. He goes to Alabama. Devontae Smith, I was looking the last time against KC. You know, everyone is obviously, he's not going to be that focal point when you look at a receiver. They want to talk about A.J. Brown, but he had seven catches, 100 yards. And then I'm just looking, it's like, you know, it's LSU's DBU, you know, with the Honey Badger going way back. I think LSU or Louisiana, we're like wide receiver U. You look at Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. You look at Brian Thomas with the Jaguars. You look at Malik Nabers with the Giants. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if anybody could compete with that when you talk about the best of the best with that young wide receiver talent or that Louisiana, you know, background. That's one thing I've told the fans. No, in the NFL and college that they know where the horses are to come in the deep south in this territory.
Can't say enough about Devontae Smith. He catches everything. He runs routes perfectly. He's a guy who could have a sneaky good game. There's no question about it. You know, I think they play good complementary football now, and I think the Chiefs will have their hands full. But, you know, to me, this game comes down to, you know, like Bobby said, in the fourth quarter with Mahomes with the ball in his hands, are you getting them off the field? Remember, Mahomes had 15 first downs in Super Bowl 57 in the second half. 15 first downs in the second half the Chiefs and Mahomes had against the Eagles in Super Bowl 57. Eagles couldn't get them off the field. Didn't punt once. 15 first downs. They couldn't rush the passer. That was that sloppy field. It was a real problem for Hassan Reddick and the rest of them boys. They had a really bad problem with the field. I'll tell you this, it'll be a bit different in this game because, you know, you have it on that Superdome turf is that S5 Turf Nation turf that is designed for, you know, speed and for performance. And I think you'll have a different result. The Eagles are 5-0 on artificial turf this year. 5-0, giving up only 11.6 points per game in those five games, best in the NFL. A full touchdown better than any other team. Chargers were 18 points a game, and the Vikings were 19.5 points a game. Those were the two closest on artificial turf. That, those numbers, by the way, Vic Fangio showed to his defense on Monday when they arrived here in NOLA. So they're very cognizant of the fact that they're going to be playing on that S5 Turf Nation turf there at the Superdome, and they hope to get some get-off on the ball.
Sal, when you look at, obviously, you know, you want to look at the skill players, but you look at the tight end and everyone, you know, you don't have to be a casual football fan. You know Travis Kelce, all the Swifties and all that. And then you look at Dallas Goedert. I mean, I'm looking at Kelce, ranked first in NFL postseason history, first, 174 catches, and second with 2,039 receiving yards. And look at 20 receiving touchdowns, has 9 playoff games with 100-plus receiving yards. But then I look at Dallas Goedert, and then he had 7 catches for 85 yards in the NFC Championship game versus the Commanders. And at the last game against KC in the Super Bowl, he had 6 catches, 60 yards. So I think Dallas, what do you think about Dallas Goedert and his contribution maybe compared to Kelce? Do you think they both succeed, or what's going to happen there?
Well, you know, you look at the middle of the field when you're looking at the Vic Fangio defense. I'll address the Travis Kelce situation first. When you play in that two-deep safety zone like they do, matchup zone like they do, the middle of the field is going to be available to the offense, and that's something that they definitely have to be cognizant of with Travis Kelce. They had Zach Ertz in the NFC Championship game get a lot of targets. I think it was 12 targets in that game. And they can't let that happen against Kelce. If Kelce has double-digit targets in the football game tomorrow, the Eagles will lose the game. So they're going to have to do a better job against Kelce than they did against Zach Ertz. I would presume they'll use Cooper DeJean, the rookie corner slash safety on him. Cooper's pretty fast and pretty tough. But, you know, Kelce's going to the Hall of Fame. So I don't know. That's a big problem that they're going to have in this game. You know, Dallas Goedert has his moments. He's good after the catch, especially outside the hash marks. So they do a lot of design rollouts for Jalen where they get, you know, the three-level pass concept where Dallas Goedert runs the middle route outside the hash to the boundary side of the field. And Jalen will usually try to connect with him on that play. They set it up nicely. Kellen Moore does a good job of setting that up where they'll have it available to in the second half. But Steve Spagnuolo is a pretty smart defensive coordinator. So they know that that's a staple of what they do. I don't know how much impact Dallas Goedert will have on this game. The Eagles are going to win this game. Their three playmakers on offense have got to be, you know, have big games. That's Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and A.J. Brown.
You look at it, you know, top to bottom, you look at the team and the roster, but I'd be like, I don't know, you bet against Tom Brady, you end up losing. You bet against Pat Mahomes, you end up losing. But, Sal, is everybody just jealous? Why is everybody hating on the Chiefs? Because we could win this history, like three-peat, it's never been done. And when I compare them to the 21st century, to the Patriots and the Chiefs, well, look at, you know, Belichick. He's like a curmudgeon compared to Andy Reid. Who doesn't like Andy Reid? I mean, come on. Anybody, if you don't like Andy Reid, you better look in the mirror. What's wrong with you? And then I look at Pat Mahomes. Talks like Kermit the Frog, but who cares? Look at my accent, whatever. But then I look at, like, the Patriots and how all of a sudden you look at Spygate. And then do they have enough air in the football and all that? I mean, is there anything really bad you might be looking for? Some, oh, the officials, they're taking up for the Chiefs. But who doesn't like, because on and off the field, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. Come on, the NFL loves that. I mean, that's something, somebody you can look up to. Because, again, now I'm comparing them to the Patriots. But there's been no controversy in Kansas City, in the Midwest and all that, compared to maybe New England.
Yeah, I mean, I root for them because they do it the right way. You know, they play football the right way. You know, you got to like the way they evolved and the way they changed their game plans and the way they've hung in there. This is a tough time in the NFL. You've had the highest number of games decided by one score or less. So it's super competitive right now in the National Football League. Plus, you got so much money that's been infused from gambling, from, you know, partnerships with casinos and gambling sites like FanDuel and whatnot, that the money has created so much change and upheaval. It's tough. It's tough to do what they do in that environment. And then, of course, you got the 17-game schedule, something that Belichick and Brady and those other former teams that you mentioned didn't have to deal with. It's a grind. It's a long, long season now. It's longer than it's ever been. So if they do it, if they have the three-peat, they win tomorrow, I think it will go down as one of the greatest feats in modern sports history in this country.
Al, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, we really appreciate it. Have a great call. We always enjoy all your coverage on ESPN, and love to have you on this afternoon. Thank you so much.
All right, Sal, thank you. Old school.
Hey, man, listen, I love the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I love the proximity of everything, but the number one thing that I love is the hospitality. It's off the charts, first rate, first class. Everywhere you go, people smile, and they're having fun with you. And I can't say enough good things about staying here. It's been fantastic. I've been here a whole week. It's been great.
All right, Sal. Love you, bro.
Thank you, Sal. Appreciate it, bud. Sal Palantonio, me. Watch him each and every weekend during the football season and after the football season. Hell, you're just as active because all these coaching changes, everything in free agency, the draft, and he plays a big part in all of that for ESPN. So, again, we want to thank Sal Palantonio. I know it was a tight schedule for him today, and we appreciate him coming on with us on Second Guess. We'll go to break and come back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our special edition of the Sega Guest Show, our Super Bowl edition. Got a full house here at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be finishing up at 4 o'clock. They'll also have a special show on gambling and the gambling influence, certainly, all across the country. And then LSU basketball follows. Bob, a lot of people during the season asked about the kickoff rules, the impact on it. The kickoff rule isn't going anywhere.
No, it's not going anywhere. And we've seen significant kickoff returns for a touchdown in New Orleans in Super Bowls. Desmond Howard against the Patriots with the Green Bay Packers. Jacoby Jones from Abramson, God rest his soul. The Ravens against the 49ers. Mike, was that the start of the second half before the lights went out? And he ended up having that unbelievable kick return. So when you look at the kick return rules, where you at now? The NFL, they pay attention to everything in detail. According to the league, the change in the rules with the kickoff return and how it's staggered and all that led to 332 more returns in 2024 compared to the previous season. In other words, the return rate increased to 33% in 2024, and then it was 22% in 2023. So, Mike, look, that's a 12% increase, and there were also 59 returns of at least 40 yards. That was the most in the league since 2016. So you look at those returns, and that's a significant number. And 7 touchdown returns for a touchdown. Now, and also, the concussion rate fell. The concussion rate fell to 43% from the previous 3 years, and they were the fewest lower extremity strains on kick returns since 2018. So the bottom line, concussions have gone down, and you've had more returns, and the return rate has increased in this postseason to 45%. But that might be based more. Now, you have to look at inclement weather. Now, in the dome, they might be able to kick them around the end zone. But if you bring inclement weather, the wind's in your face. But they said they've increased to 45% this season. But they looked at it. That might be based more on the difficulty of kicking in deep, cold weather, which obviously won't be an issue in the Super Bowl playing in the Caesar Superdome. So, but it is that rule ain't going nowhere.
No.
So, if you don't like the way the kickoff coverage, your kickoff return
sorry,
is,
it's
sorry,
not changing.
It ain't changing.
No, I don't.
Because the percentages and the numbers as far as concussions and returns are trending in the right direction.
Oh, friend of ours, Carl Johnson, who is a longtime official, was one time the head of NFL officiating, told me, Mike, to watch these films and to watch some of the impacts
right.
that they have, guys running down, kamikaze.
A running start, like, it stands to reason you can hit a faster level if you have a 30-yard running start versus 10 yards or 5 yards.
And he said, man, it did look like the 5-car collision when those guys would run into one another. And he said, that had to change. We have to, you know, because some of these guys, no matter what rule is in, they're going to play the same way.
Now, if you're playing indoors, you know what other rule they got to change? Because the kicker's leg is so strong. Move the ball 5-10 yards back and let him kick it from there. So, you know what I'm saying, Mike? Then for sure you're going to get returns. You just got to push the kicker back. Because we will see, if not next year, before 2030, you will see a 70-yard field goal made in an actual NFL game.
Now, be at the end of a half or
end
of a game.
Yeah, game, yeah, because the field position and all that. But
man,
somebody
look,
will make one.
It's almost routine, 55, 60, 61. Yeah, get in there, kid. Go kick it.
You got to make it.
That's really something.
No, you got to be over 50%. Now, Mike, when you're talking about kicking on look, you know, I got to look at my notes, but I'll kick her. Okay, you look, I think he was 6 for 6 over 50 yards this year. That's great.
We'll be back to finish it up here on our special edition of Second Guess, our Super Bowl edition, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our special edition, our Super Bowl edition of Second Guess. Mike DeTelio, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, want to tell everybody we will be back Monday night right here
to second
at the
guess the game,
and it'll be our last one for early on for the 2024
until the draft,
we'll do the draft, and we got plenty to talk about. So thank you for listening. Hey, we got a special programming on gaming and the impact here in the United States on all the sports betting that's happening. And then afterwards, LSU basketball right here on the Big 870 WWL.
Who dat?